Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Monday, March the 3rd, and coming up today, we're going to hear from Johnny Heaver, the apprentice candidate from Deal, who's taken to TikTok to talk about his facial scars. We'll also have reaction from the Gillingham manager after their winless streak came to an end at the weekend. But first up today, the sister of an artist who was murdered by a man she didn't know in Thanet has called for more action to tackle violence against women. Claire Knight was attacked as she walked her dog in Birchington in August 2023. Her body was found by her son 2 days later. Killer Harrison Lawrence Vanpoose, who's 21 and from Craven Close in Margate, has been jailed for life and will spend a minimum of 25 years behind bars. Claire's sister Annie Watson has spoken following his sentencing hearing at Crown Court.
Claire was an incredibly strong, creative and fascinating person. She had so many plans and ideas that were destroyed on the 23rd of August 2023. We miss her so much. And there hasn't been a day since when we haven't thought about the horror and the pain of my sister's last moments. This has been a horrendously long process, which we were warned all along was all about the perpetrator and protecting the trial. But now we can finally talk about the person that mattered. Our amazing and beautiful Claire. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the Kent Police and CPS teams, and also Alison Morgan, Casey and her team. They have shown us such genuine kindness and sensitivity, and more importantly, they have treated Claire and Claire's memory with the dignity and respect she so deserved. Finally, I want to end by saying that Claire vehemently believed in the freedom of women, that we should not fear or be inhibited. She should have been able to go safely for a swim and walk with her dog. I beg everyone, men and women, but especially men, to stand up against misogyny and the language and actions that continue to fuel male violence. Since Claire's murder on the 23rd of August 23, at least 112 women have been murdered in the UK by violent men. And this has to stop.
We can also hear now from Senior Crown Prosecutor Natalie Smith, who's been explaining more about what happened to Claire.
Claire left the beach at about 4:30 in the afternoon to go and meet friends. She was an artist and she was going out for the evening. And sadly, she didn't make it. She was walking back through the marshes along the footpath and then onto a farmer's track. And that's where the defendant, and the exact details of how are not known, but removed Claire from the path, and she was in a farmer's field where he brutally and violently attacked her in the field. She suffered a hinge fracture to the base of her skull. He then had an interaction with various members of the public, and he commandeered Claire's dog, took the dog to the shop and bought it treats, as well as buying himself some sweets and some bleach. He then returned to Claire's body and moved her into the water. He placed her in the dike.
Finally, let's hear from Detective Superintendent Kathleen Way, who's from Kent Police.
I think the judge has weighed up all the significant factors that were presented to him over this very lengthy sentencing period. We obviously respect the decision and the sentencing that the judge has handed down. My view and my take on this now is very much how can we support the family going forward.
I'm sure you're aware of the Julia James case. We've had two very similar murders in Kent at the moment. How do you think that's, what atmosphere do you feel that can create for women in this part of Kent?
I mean, that's really difficult, because I'd say obviously the two cases are not investigatively connected
in any way.
But there is such similarities, and I think that that's apparent for me to see as a woman, as a police officer, and of course for the community to see. What I would say is that we absolutely prioritise tackling violence against women and girls, and we do so with dedicated teams, dedicated to tracking down offenders who cause this harm and this violence and putting them behind bars, which is what we've done today and what we've done in many cases.
Could you say a few words about the defendant and his actions?
It's absolutely despicable. You know, he clearly targeted Claire because she was a lone woman walking on that path, just doing her usual activities, you know, spending a nice day in the sun, and he targeted her and subjected her to horrendous attack and murder, and he's just a despicable person.
Our thoughts are very much with Claire's friends and family.
Kent Online News.
A woman who brutally attacked her own mum in Margate has been jailed for 3 years. A court's heard how Hawa Ramadan punched and kicked her mother after coming to her house looking for drug money in October last year. The 36-year-old from Waterloo Place in Ramsgate had 22 previous convictions. She's been given a 5-year restraining order too. An inquiry looking into what lessons can be learned from the deaths of at least 27 people in the Channel is due to get underway today. They died when a small boat sank as it made its way from France to Kent in November 2021. Charity Care for Calais is calling for justice to be served for the families of those who lost loved ones. It's emerged a man died after losing his balance on a dinghy and falling into the River Medway. Andrew Botterill had returned to his houseboat near Sun Pier before heading out on the vessel last October. His body was found 11 days later. A coroner's concluded the 47-year-old's death was an accident. Now, an investigation has found drivers are paying thousands of pounds in parking fines at country parks in Kent because of what's known as a keying error. It's claimed some machines are issuing tickets before people can enter their full number plate, resulting in a penalty notice despite the fee being paid. Now, Euro Car Parks, who run sites across the county, have made nearly £20,000 from these so-called keying errors in the space of a year. Ben Romney is among those being chased by debt collectors.
It was last July, on a weekend, we were taking our 7-year-old son to a birthday party in the area, dropped him off, and we took our younger daughter and dog for a walk at Lullingstone. And my wife went to get the ticket, and, you know, as she's putting in the thing, it spits out a ticket. She comes back and she says, well, you know, that's weird. It's only, you know, didn't even get to finish the reg, but I bought the ticket, we put it in the car, didn't think anything of it. You know, went about our business, and then sort of 2 weeks later, get the letter with a, you know, a penalty charge notice. And we're like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And, you know, and we're like, thank God we've actually kept the ticket. So we appealed it, and, you know, we've full confidence that obviously they're going to say, okay, I see what's happened here, and you got the ticket, so don't worry about it. And they said, well, no, it's a keying error. So what we'll do on this occasion is we'll let you only pay 20 quid. And then, you know, it doesn't have to go any further than that. And we were already outraged at this point. You know, why would you pay £20 more when you've already paid £3.50 for a parking charge? And you know full well that, you know, it was an issue with the machine. I mean, we use machines, you know, every single day. I mean, who puts in half a registration and then press print ticket? I mean, it's unheard of. So we lost the appeal, and then we went to Poplar, and again, in our mind, we're like, well, this is an open and shut case. And amazingly, when we actually had the engagement with Poplar, like we actually saw the evidence that had been provided by Eurocarpus that said that just in the space of a 2-hour period that we were there, there was something like seven people who had had exactly the same experience. Anyway, and then Poplar said, well, it's a keying error. I mean, it just keep on hearing a keying error. It's your fault. You didn't put the right registration in. And that's why you've got a ticket, and your car parks are fully, you know, legally justified in pursuing you. And it's nuts. All sense points towards the fact that this is a faulty machine that people are getting stung with. And I mean, the thing that's most annoying thing is we bought the ticket. You know, you've actually paid £3.50 for a charge, and now we're starting to get letters come through from the debt collectors. You know, which is obviously a very stressful thing. So it was actually my wife who paid for the ticket and who had the original, you know, the fines in her name, and the whole thing was so distressing for her. You know, that I've now had to step in. I mean, combined we must have put in, I don't know, 30, 40 hours of research and communication. We've got no intention of paying the fine, obviously. And, you know, I'd like to think at some point Maybe it's in court when we're actually presenting the situation to whoever presides over those sorts of things. We'll say, well, clearly all the evidence suggests that it's a faulty machine and you pay for a ticket. Why are we wasting the courts and everybody else's time by bringing people to court who have paid for a ticket? It reminds me very much of the whole Post Office Horizon scandal, you know, where it's just easier to blame, you know, whereas obviously the people who are incapable of entering their registration credit can't possibly be the machine. I mean, it's bonkers.
Now, he's considering taking legal action against Euro car parks and says he'd rather go to prison than pay the full fine. The company hasn't responded to our request for a comment. However, a spokesperson for Kent County Council has said that if a customer inputs the correct registration number at the machine, it will correspond with the number plate captured on the AMPR, meaning a penalty charge notice or PCN will not be issued. It goes on to say, we have had no ongoing faults with any keypads on the machines at our country parks, which are checked every morning and evening. We want everyone to enjoy the county's much-loved country parks. Finally, it says, if a customer makes a mistake when keying in their details, they should, at the time of the mistake, speak to a country parks officer, if one is available, who will be able to help them if they can show proof of purchase. This could be in an office or at the visitor centre front desks during opening hours. Alternative, they could call the parks by phone through the number published on the site notice board during office hours to leave a message if out of hours to be picked up the following day.
Kent Online reports.
Plans for a battery storage facility on land near Gravesend have been approved. Speed Green Limited have been given permission to build it on scrubland off Thames Way in Northfleet, which is near the local water treatment plant. It'll allow renewable energy to be stored and used as needed. The council's expected to make at least £120,000 a year from renting the site. More than 500 people have signed a petition after dozens of trees were cut down in Tunbridge. The people behind plans for a development next to an ancient monument known as the Fosse say they haven't broken any rules and the trees will grow back. However, green campaigners aren't happy. They say the area now looks appalling and there was no thought for wildlife. Next today, a cancer patient from Larkfield says she was left sickened after being told she didn't meet the criteria for a blue badge. Sandy Burr was diagnosed with melanoma last October and also had blood clots in her lungs. But the council say they're unable to determine she'll need the badge for a full 3 years. So her request was denied. Well, Sandy has been speaking to the Kent Online podcast and says the system needs to change.
It certainly doesn't support cancer patients. I made my application in November because I knew I was going to need it pretty soon. I was having an amputation done, so I certainly knew I was going to be off my feet. When I applied, it was immediately a 15-week wait. So I'd kind of written it off already because by the time I was going to get it, it was probably going to be too late for what I needed it for. Subsequently, I did then get a blood clot in my lung. So I asked them to speed up the process, to which they did. And 2 days later, they refused the blue badge application, stating basically that my needs for a blue badge wasn't going to be for a 3 year period. So therefore, I was non-eligible and I could apply again in 6 months. And it's just wrong because, no, okay, my needs might not be for a full 3 years, but they give no other option to apply for a temporary badge or it's kind of the 3 year or nothing. And, you know, for cancer patients like myself or anyone else going through a life-changing illness, little things like that can really help. And also you're fighting other things, so you haven't got the strength or the will to fight them on it. So you kind of, you know, you're left in a position of needing one, not having one, and not having any other choice to how you apply.
One more question on video. If you were able to apply for, say, a temporary badge for a year, mm-hmm. what sort of difference would that make to you in this next year of your life?
Oh, God, it would have made a massive difference. not only during that process, but obviously subsequently from that, I've had to have some further operations and further procedures done. Currently, I'm off my feet again. So, you know, it would have helped now. I'm still having to go for daily treatments, still having the issues of having to park, you know, a lot further away. And yeah, it would have just, you know, helped going forward, because with cancer or any other illness, you don't know what's going to come along. And, you know, there's no point in me applying again, because A, I can't, it's under 6 months anyway. And B, I know I'm going to come across the same issue. So there really needs to be, you know, a temporary pass that can be either done by the current way it is, or give consultants, GPs, or, you know, some, you know, the powers to be able to issue, maybe not a blue badge, maybe a yellow badge or something, you know, like a temporary thing to cover people like myself.
Lots of you have been commenting on this story at Kent Online over the weekend. Well, the council say there's a very clear set of eligibility criteria, and each application is assessed against Department for Transport guidance.
Kent Online reports.
Now, this is by far our most read story on the website today. Star of The Apprentice, Johnny Heaver, has taken to TikTok to explain his facial scars. The 23-year-old from Deal is still in the process and hoping to become Lord Sugar's next business partner. But his appearance has prompted speculation online, and he says he just wants to set the record straight. He's revealed the scars are the result of surgery he had as a child to remove a large birthmark.
I got on the show of my own merit. I've got a really successful business, and I want people to remember me because of that, not because of what I look like. But also, there's been a lot of speculation, and because I haven't confronted it directly either on a TikTok video or within media interviews I've done, I appreciate, you know, maybe it's time to confront it. But I'm doing this purely because I want to share this with you guys. You know, it's something which is obviously about me, which makes me different, and we're all different in our different ways. And I do think you guys have got the right to know now. You know, hopefully you've built your idea of me beyond what I look like by this point. So that's why I've been coming kind of umming and ahhing whether to do it or not. In addition to that, I don't want a sob story. I don't want people to like me and support me because of what I've been through or any of that. But anyway, I'm going to dive right into actually what my birthmark is. So people have been saying, is it a burn? No, it's not a burn. People have been saying, I've been involved in an accident. No, I haven't been involved in an accident. So basically, when I was born with a giant melanocytic nevus covering half my face and head, so like all over. There was a slight risk as a baby that it was malignant, which basically means it could be cancerous. So mum and dad made the really difficult decision at the time to actually remove some of the CMN, hence my scarring. That was all going fine. However, it basically, the surgery got quite obtrusive, and it actually affected my eye in a way that it's called an ectropion, which basically means my eye drooped down. So because of that, I've had quite a lot of pain since then, including ingrowing eyelashes, including stuff, a part of my eye which is being exposed, which shouldn't be. So it caused me a lot of discomfort. So a lot of my operations, including skin grafts and a thing called tissue expansion, which was wild and really hefty surgery, has been to make my eye the better shape. And now it is a better shape, and after a lot of tries, but due to a successful operation. So that's why I've got the scarring, as well as my birthmark, which now is just around my eye. In terms of pain, yeah, I do deal with pain. Sometimes it can be bloodshot, and sometimes you might see that on the series, because, you know, it does get very dry, and when early mornings and late nights, which there's a lot of on the show, and that can also play up to it as well. So can the wind, so can the sun, so can pollen. So there's a lot of external factors which can bring pain to my eye. And yeah, I've been through a lot of surgery in my life. And, you know, I think that has made me stronger, and it's made me more resilient. You know, since a baby, I've had on and off surgery all my life. And, you know, I cope with pain. And I think that does give me grit, and it does give me determination.
The 23-year-old is now based in Liverpool and runs a tutoring company. It's feared events taking place in Sandwich could be cancelled because of new parking charges. Council bosses say they need the revenue from the fees, but festival organisers say they could be missing out on more than £200,000 worth of income from visitors attending. The authorities looking into whether a reduced rate can be offered to not-for-profit community groups. An application's been submitted for new paddle courts near a Kent shopping centre. The sport, which is described as a mix between tennis and squash, has become popular recently. There are plans for three courts and a clubhouse on Newhame Road near Westwood Cross in Thanet.
Kent Online Sport.
Starting off with football, and Gillingham's run of 13 games without a win has finally come to an end with a home victory over Morecambe. Robbie McKenzie scored the winner in the 79th minute at Priestfield on Saturday. Manager John Coleman says the 1-0 win and his first since taking charge is a huge relief.
I'm delighted for the fans. They stuck with us all the way through the game. You know, there was no moans and groans. We had to be a little bit more patient. We didn't want to get the game to be played the way Morecambe wanted the game to be played, which was very physical, very aerial dominated. So we had to try and find a way to get it wide, to get our, particularly Hutch, on the ball and getting them at them. I think he put about 4 or 5 crosses in the first half. But you can get desperate and you can just lump the ball up, and that's particularly when you've got Hawks playing as well. And Hawks did great today, you know, he gets manhandled every single game. I feel sorry for him, to be honest. But we had to find a way to get it, to get down the side of them, to get balls into the box. I always thought we might score from a set play, either a free kick or a throw-in, because we're simply going to have that many. And we tried to mix it up to three or four different things. That chance that we've scored from, you've been to every game. That chance has happened probably 15 times in the last 4 games. Sometimes they go in, sometimes they don't. For us, it was feeling as though it was never going to go in. You're also feeling we're at the stage where I don't know what you'd have to do to get a penalty anymore. I honestly don't. It's if, like, we've got the exam card, we drew the card, you know, we're not allowed to be awarded a penalty. But the players kept going. And so I'm pleased for the fans. I'm really pleased for the players. I'm pleased for the staff who've worked the socks off every day. You know, you can't knock them. You know, you haven't got a set of people here who are sitting on our hands. That's for sure. And I think the relief that we showed at the end was palpable.
And it's a quick turnaround for the Gills, who are facing Newport County in League 2 tomorrow night. And finally, in ice hockey, it was a mixed weekend for Kent's Invicta Dynamos, with a win and defeat in South Division 1. They beat Romford Buccaneers 4-0 at the ice rink in Gillingham on Saturday before losing 5-2 at Chelmsford Chieftains yesterday. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top story direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.